At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given to you at that time. If you should require assistance during today's call, please press star, then zero, and an operator will assist you offline. I would now like to turn the call over to Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey. Please go ahead.
Governor, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you now. Go ahead, sir.
Did you not hear me before?
No,
sir,
we did not.
Okay. Can you, you're good now?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me? Okay, great. Again, everybody, sorry for the technical difficulties in getting this call started. Apologies. Thank you for joining us. We are now together. I am joined by many, including speakers, Health Commissioner Judy Persichelli and her team, and Commissioner of Banking and Insurance Marlene Caride. In addition to Judy and Marlene, we have the Lieutenant Governor Sheila Oliver with us, State Police Colonel and Superintendent Pat Callahan, Commissioner of Education Dr. Lamont Repelette, among many others. Mahan, can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. So since yesterday's briefing, we have received 31 new positive test results. And that brings our cumulative statewide total at this moment to 98. And Judy will provide the details on these cases. Let me just say this, that the 98 includes two fatalities, the original loss of life in Bergen County, and then the one that the blessed woman we announced last evening from Monmouth County. And the last evening's fatality is included in the number 31. And then, as Judy will probably tell you, we had one overlap with another state and one duplicate. So if you're doing the math from yesterday to today, that explains why we are now cumulatively at 98 positive test results in the state, again, two of whom, sadly, are fatalities. Separately, and the reason why Marlene is on with us for many other reasons, I'm requesting today, a short while ago, signed the letter that the federal government opened an emergency enrollment period under the Affordable Care Act to give people, whether they are uninsured or underinsured, the opportunity to get quality health coverage. Several states that have their own exchanges, and we've already taken that step, and we need this flexibility across the board, and Marlene will speak to this in her remarks. As I said last week and yesterday on the phone, an announcement on an extended statewide school shutdown is imminent. We are communicating the details to stakeholders today and tomorrow morning to ensure a singular message and to ensure educators, parents, and administrators have clear guidance and are prepared for the weeks ahead. Commissioner Repelette and his team have been working throughout the weekend, literally 24 hours a day, with districts to ensure all local needs are taken fully into consideration. Districts and parents should continue making all necessary preparations, and I can say with definitiveness that we will be prepared to lay out the statewide shutdown of schools tomorrow at our press briefing at 2 p.m., which I believe tomorrow will be held at 225 West State Street, by the way. I think we said this on Friday to clarify, in addition to gas and other electric utilities, that all New Jersey water companies have voluntarily agreed to suspend shutoffs during this emergency, and I wanted to make sure I reiterated that. We have established an online portal where businesses can find answers to their questions and concerns. That's CV, as in Charlie Victor, .business.nj.gov. CV.business.nj.gov. And listen, we know this is an uncertain time for everybody, but in this case for businesses, particularly small businesses. And we implore them to continue paying workers and allowing workers who are sick to stay home. Not paying employees might keep employers from being able to fully benefit from anticipated federal relief and keep their workers from using available state benefits like earned, sick, and paid family leave. Again, we understand the impact all this is having on our business community and especially our small business community, and we want to make sure we are there for them. More details on that to come. I put out today, along with the Lieutenant Governor, at around noontime, for all state employees, a work-from-home authorization and directives. And that will take effect no later than Wednesday. So this is for the thousands, the tens of thousands of state employees. It will depend from department to department what that actually ultimately looks like. We'll probably have more details for you tomorrow on that. But that directive was sent out, as I said, today at noon, and from the Lieutenant Governor and myself. And that, again, is a, you know, we have to walk the talk. So when we say to the business community, working from home is a huge preference right now, we have to be living that as a state government reality, and with this we are. I want to spend a minute before I thank some folks and turn it over to Judy. I want to spend a minute on social distancing. And obviously working from home is a part of that. And that's a good segue into the broader topic. So we thank the many thousands, maybe millions of residents who have taken the notion of social distancing to heart and who are doing their part to mitigate the spread of illness. And we'll have more on this tomorrow, but not enough is being done. There is too much business as usual. And we need not just most of us, but all of us to follow suit. And this is something that none of us can be cavalier about. And a particular shout out to our young folks who may feel, the virus isn't hitting them as much, although there are teenagers in our positive list. But as a general matter, that's generally true. They may feel healthy. But what if they're asymptomatic and carrying the virus? And they're in the midst of a grandparent or a parent or an educator or a coach or something, a population that might be much more vulnerable to the coronavirus. So we need, even if you're young and you feel entirely healthy, you can still spread this. So we need not just most of us to taking the social distancing to heart. We need everybody to do that. And we are working around the clock and expect to hear more from me personally and from us generally tomorrow on steps we're going to take to much more aggressively enforce that. And obviously closing schools is a big step in that direction. Work from home for the largest employer in the state, which is the state government, is a big step in that direction. And so in that spirit, we will be considering and almost certainly taking more steps. Stay tuned tomorrow. I mentioned I wanted to thank some folks. I have to recognize everyone who's working on the front lines of our response, from the public health workers, bless their hearts, the janitors and custodians, to the people stocking the grocery store shelves. There are heroes among us up and down this state, and it will take our entire New Jersey family pulling together for us to emerge from this emergency stronger than before. And we will do just that, assuming we all do our part. I will say again unequivocally that we will get through this, not unscathed, not without mistake, but we will get through this, and we will emerge stronger as one family than never before. As I mentioned, we'll have more announcements as warranted, and I think there'll be a number of them tomorrow in addition to the school plan. We're committed, as I said, from day one to being proactive, transparent, not being dragged by this, but getting out ahead of it, and being smart, and not panicking. We accept the anxiety. We understand it. Who couldn't? We appreciate it. But it's time for us to be smart, for each and every one of us to do our part. That's what we're committed to, and that means all of us, not just some of us. And if we do all of that, we will get through this stronger than ever together. With that, one of the heroes out there and her team in particular, in addition to Judy, Assistant Commissioner Chris Newworth, I know, is with her. Our state epidemiologist, Dr. Christina Tan, is with her. And I just want to give Judy and her team, those three names, but the entire squad, my huge respect and thanks for extraordinary work they're doing. With that, Judy, over to you.
Thank you, Governor, and good afternoon, everyone. Last night, Governor Murphy announced New Jersey's second death related to novel coronavirus. This Monmouth County woman had contact with a confirmed case. That confirmed case had a nexus with a confirmed case in Bergen County. Of course, our thoughts and prayers are with this individual's family during this particularly difficult time. We continue to see the cases of COVID-19 rise in the state. As we see cases increasing, we're going to see more measures taken to encourage social distancing in the state. For example, yesterday, the mayor of Teaneck asked residents to self-quarantine. And as I outlined yesterday, Bergen County is taking aggressive mitigation steps, and the city of Newark recently announced similar actions. Social distancing is vital to decrease the spread of COVID-19. These measures are common sense approaches to limiting face-to-face contact, which reduces person-to-person transmission. I reiterate what the governor just said. I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to take personal responsibility and avoid gatherings, both small and definitely large. We strongly encourage restricting visitors to all of our licensed healthcare facilities. We have already required that long-term care facilities restrict visitors, except for end-of-life situations. Mass gatherings and community events bring people from multiple communities into close contact with each other, and they have the potential to increase the COVID-19 spread. Even smaller gatherings have the potential to spread COVID-19. A family gathering in Monmouth County has resulted in the one death we reported and several positive cases for the people who attended that gathering. Again, it is critical that older adults and individuals with underlying medical conditions such as diabetes, lung disease, and heart disease lower their risk of exposure. These individuals are more likely to develop serious outcomes, including organ failure and death. We certainly understand the public's concern about testing availability, and we are working with the county executives to set up testing options for our residents. I know all the actions being taken can cause concern, but that is all part of the public health response to reduce the impact on our state. As I said yesterday, we can expect cases in communities across the state to increase. We are now in 13 of 21 counties, and yes, our lives will change as a result of this novel coronavirus. Our lives will change as we work together to protect our state. I continue to ask anyone who does not feel well to stay home and call your health care provider if necessary. Today, we are reporting 31 new positive cases from the following counties: Bergen County reports 7. Hudson County reports 6. Monmouth County, 4. Essex County, 4. Passaic County, 3. Union County, 3. Ocean County, 1. Burlington County, 1. Morris County, 1. And Middlesex County, 1. We have 9 females, 22 males. The ages range from a low of 30 to a high of 77. As these cases come in from commercial labs, we are trying to reconcile them on a daily basis. We will continue to report cases on a county basis as individual town statistics change rapidly. As we mentioned on the call yesterday, the commercial labs are calling the local health departments with their results. So locally, they sometimes are getting the results directly before those results are entered into our communicable disease surveillance system. Today, as some of you may know, Mayor Baraka of Newark and University Hospital CEO Dr. Elmer Hall announced that there are 11 positive cases in Newark. A healthcare worker who lives in Bergen County but works at University Hospital tested positive yesterday. This individual has been in self-quarantine since March 6th. They have notified hospital staff and those who are at risk, and those at risk, have been tested. They are currently in the process of notifying patients who may have been in contact with this healthcare worker. This is a continuing investigation. I bring it up to emphasize that we know our healthcare workers are most at risk. They are on the front lines, and we are working with them to get them more personal protective equipment. In partnership with the New Jersey Hospital Association, we are going to be moving personal protective equipment from our warehouse, from the shipment we received yesterday. We are going to be moving the PPE from our warehouse this afternoon to the most critically impacted hospitals in counties with the most cases. Events are changing quickly, and we know that many people are anxious and concerned. We understand that. I encourage the public to stay informed and up to date on current information by following the New Jersey Department of Health on social media and visiting our website at nj.gov/health. Again, we remind people that you should stay home when you are sick, and overall, everyone should limit their social interactions. The department, local health officials, and healthcare providers are working around the clock to respond to these cases and implement efforts to protect the health of all New Jersey residents. Thank you.
Judy, so well said. Before Marlene comes on, just to say, obviously we'll do an extensive Q&A today, but as we have indicated on Friday, as we did yesterday on the phone, and I'll just reiterate today, and I know Sheila joins me in this, she previewed this last week, we have been very proactive on the testing front, and I can't promise you an hour of a day, but we are pursuing a number of different avenues, and Judy is taking the lead on this, that will dramatically increase our intake capabilities as well as our testing capabilities. And so that's just a theme I wanted to reiterate that we had mentioned over the past couple of days, and we'll have more to say on that over the next couple. So, Judy, thank you to you and your team for everything you're doing. Extraordinary work. With that, would love to ask the Commissioner of the Department of Banking and Insurance to give us a quick sense of that letter that I signed today and the rationale behind it as it relates to reopening up enrollment for the Affordable Care Act for both uninsured and underinsured. Please help us welcome Marlene Caride.
Thank you, Governor, and good afternoon, everyone. As the state responds to the COVID-19 situation, we want to ensure that residents have the coverage that they need to access testing and treatment. We have taken actions to require carriers regulated by the state to waive cost sharing for COVID-19 testing. However, we can do more, and in this case, we need the federal government's assistance. Clearly, we do not want residents to be apprehensive about seeking treatment because they are not insured or concerned about medical bills. As many of you know, the state is currently transitioning to a state-based exchange, which will be in place in November. However, because at this time we operate as a state-based exchange on the federal platform with enrollment through the healthcare.gov site, we rely on the federal government to establish a special enrollment period to allow consumers to enroll outside of the open enrollment period. As the governor has mentioned, a number of states with state-based exchanges have already put in place a special enrollment period in response to COVID-19. We are asking the federal government to establish a special enrollment period for at least 60 days for all eligible uninsured and underinsured residents to purchase health coverage through the federal platform and for that coverage to be placed, to be in place as soon as possible. CMS has taken actions similar to this in the past for major weather events and created a special enrollment period. And creating a special enrollment period will allow our residents here in New Jersey who are uninsured and underinsured to enroll in health benefit plans through healthcare.gov. We think access to coverage is critical to managing this outbreak and ensuring residents get the care they need. So I want to thank you, Governor, for the actions that you have taken, for your advocacy for this action at the federal level, and for your work across the state to address the public health emergency. Thank you.
Marlene, thank you so much for that and for all of your work and your team. Kirky, with that, our speaking program is finished, and we'll turn it over to you to help us run through the Q&A. Is that okay?
That is perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 1, then 0 on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question at any time by repeating the 1-0 command. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 1, then 0 at this time. And our first question comes from the line of Alex Zidane with News 12. Please go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Thanks, Governor. Hello, Governor. I wanted to ask you right off the top, why have you not made the decision yet to close the casinos? It's obviously a large area, but a lot of the people that go there may be elderly. A lot of the workers may not have health insurance. Isn't it an unnecessary risk to keep casinos open at this point in time?
Do you have any other questions, or is that it?
That's it for now.
Okay. So, Alex, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
So the rationale so far has been, first of all, any gatherings of 250 or more have been, we've strongly recommended against up and down the state. That includes at the casinos, and clearly their entertainment programs have been canceled as a result. You probably are hearing us hinting at the fact we will likely revisit that 250 number. But put that aside for a moment. Up until now, we have felt that the casino floors are so expansive that the ability to keep social distancing has been acceptable. Having said that, that is something that we are constantly reconsidering. So bear with us on that. They remain open for the time being, but that is under intense consideration at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Brent Johnson with Star Ledger. Please go ahead.
Hey, Brent.
Hi, Governor. How are you?
I'm good.
The work from home thing that went out today, I just want to make sure I'm clarified on it. Is it mandating that state employees work from home? Is this a broad thing? I just wanted a little more detail. What did you send out today, and what can we expect?
Yeah, so my folks, I think Matt Platkin is on the line. I think this is something that we'd be very happy to send you. So we can do that.
Okay.
It doesn't mandate it, but it authorizes it. And how it's executed, we literally had a front office meeting, telephonic meeting, on exactly what the implications would be for our group in the front office. Each of the departments and agencies will be different, but this authorizes it. And again, it will depend on the department. You know, human services, you have a lot of people in their operation who are in the field. In Marlene's neck of the woods, in Dobie, you've got a lot of regulators in a building. So it will depend on which department you're looking at. But it's nothing that we're keeping a secret. We're very happy to send that out.
Okay, great. Friend.
Okay, Perky, what do you got?
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Charlie Cratwell with New Brunswick Today. Please go ahead.
Hi, Charlie.
Yes, good afternoon, Governor, and thank you for making yourself available. I neglected to say yesterday that I'm so very happy you're making a recovery and wish you all the best. I wanted to ask about elections. I believe the next scheduled election is March 31st in Atlantic City, and then there's, of course, April school board elections. What impact do you see the crisis having on those processes and functions of the government?
Yeah, I was just updated on this morning. The lieutenant governor has been right in the middle of this. So we have elections in March. We got them in April. We got them in May. We actually have a primary in June. We've got a petition filing deadline this month. We are actively reviewing for all the above options with respect to things like petition submissions, election dates, the extent to which vote by mail is used. It is a work in progress, and we expect to have an announcement very soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of David Wallstein with NJ Global. Please go ahead.
David, how are you?
Hi, Governor. How are you? Good, thank you. I was going to ask a similar question to Charlie, but I wanted to ask more about vote by mail. Is a contingency plan being developed to have an entirely vote by mail primary or an entirely vote-by-mail school board or main municipal election races?
So too early to say anything definitive, David. We are working on this as we speak. And, you know, as I mentioned, the lieutenant governor is deeply involved through both her lieutenant governor hat and DCA hat, Secretary of State Tahisha Way, Attorney General Grevier Graywall, our team at a minimum. They're working this very hard. Too early to tell, but much more aggressive use of vote by mail, even in the extreme, is certainly a consideration that we're looking at. But when we have something specific to say, which I would expect is in a matter of days, we will let everybody know. Many thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Governor.
My pleasure. Perky?
Thank you. Next question is Brian Thompson with NBC. Please go ahead.
Hey, Brian.
Thanks, Governor, and everybody there. I appreciate it.
A little hard to hear. Be a little clearer.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello?
Sir.
Is that better?
It is. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Question for the commissioner, please. The family gathering in Monmouth County, do we know where the initial source was that impacted that, that brought that infection to that family? Or a family member who traveled either out of the country or had contact with somebody through some sort of community contact?
Yes, we believe that the contact was between a member of that attended the gathering and the Bergen County individual who unfortunately expired, I believe, was our first death.
And then if I can do another question, please, Governor, for you. My information is that the local unit of the Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, is recommending to Washington, D.C. that those two attractions shut down and that Washington Interior Department has still not made the final decision. What would your recommendation to the federal government be about Ellis Island and Statue of Liberty?
So, Brian, first, I'm hearing of this. Perhaps any of my colleagues on the line have heard this already. so I'm giving you an off-the-top-of-my-head answer. I think any amount of restriction of large gatherings of people are probably smart moves to make. Having said that, the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island are as iconic to this immigrant nation as any two institutions, I think, in our entire country. But if I get a better if and when we get a better handle on where that stands, we'll get back to you. Thank you. May I say something? I want to clarify, Perky, before you go to the next one. I want to make sure on Brett Johnson's question on work at home for state employees, if Brett's still listening, I want to make sure that while it is not mandatory, that's why I said we authorize it, it's not mandatory in the sense that everybody's required to work from home. But what is mandatory is that every department and every part of government, state government, has to adopt a work-from-home policies. Wherever they can, and that's at latest by this Wednesday. So we're given basically 72 hours to every department to come up with that plan. Many thanks, Perky. Back to you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Ashley Basarzak with Bergeron Records. Please go ahead.
Hello, Governor. So I have a question about workers who don't feel safe going to work and want to stay home, but they are not sick. They don't have a family member that's sick. They don't have a child with a school closure. Your website is very helpful, but it doesn't answer that specific question. So what happens if a worker can't afford to take a day off work but does not feel comfortable going into work? And a follow-up on this. If the federal labor measures pass, having to do with like family leave and earned sick leave, how would that interact with our existing New Jersey policy? Would they be used in tandem? Would you pick one or the other? Can you kind of explain how that would work?
So on the latter, and this is the case with lots of laws that are at the state level and may either collide or overlap with federal laws. We would basically adhere to the highest standard. And as I mentioned yesterday, I believe, we enter this healthcare crisis with a lot of assets, including the quality of our hospital systems and healthcare networks and the extraordinary qualifications of our healthcare workers, but also things like earned sick leave and paid family leave, pardon me, and et cetera. And some of that is obviously overlapping with the federal bill that was voted on by the House on Friday night, and God willing, will be voted on the Senate soon enough. So that's a normal working through that we would anticipate would happen here as well. Listen, I can't speak for any to your first question. I can't speak for every employer, and my colleagues may want to weigh in here. But I'll be darned if an employer says to you, I don't feel comfortable coming to work. Please, can I work from home? I'll be a son of a gun if the answer to that is no. And if it is no, I think we'd like to hear about it at the Department of Labor, because this is the time when we're encouraging that. We're actually walking the talk at the state level and not just asking the private sector to do that. So I think that's a policy. It's one of the best social distancing policies we can employ, and that is to allow folks to work in the space and the confines of their own home. Thank you for that. Perky.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Tom Bergeron with ROI News, New Jersey. Please go ahead.
Hey, Tom.
Question for you. If you could talk a little bit more about getting people to take this more seriously, especially in the idea of you have PNEC practically in a complete lockdown, and you have South Jersey with virtually no cases. Working at from a statewide angle, how do you impress upon everybody that this is serious when a lot of people are not seeing it yet?
Yeah, and by the way, there's behavior in counties where there are plenty of cases, such as my own in Monmouth County, where you've got bars. I had some friends reporting to me from restaurants and bars in Asbury Park last night that were chock-a-block. I got nothing against people, God knows we want a vibrant small business community and restaurant and taverns and all that sort of stuff, but this isn't the time. So I think whether or not you've had a case in your particular county, Judy, I think, mentioned this, 13 counties have cases, 8 do not yet. It's inevitable that all 21, I'm certain, will have cases. We need to deploy, I think, much more aggressive statewide action to make sure people are shaken from this business as usual. It's one thing to understand anxiety, which we do. It's another thing to say there's no time to panic. It isn't any time to panic. But you can also say at the same time, this is not business as usual. Almost anybody who's an expert here will tell you the next 7 to 14 days will define in our country the shape of the curve, that curve that we're trying to flatten. So, Tom, I don't have all of the answers for you, but by tomorrow I think you're going to hear us taking a number of steps. You're already hearing us, you know, statewide school shutdown, state employees work from home policies. Those are two big steps. The 250-person max was a big step. You may have to get more aggressive. So watch that space over the next coming days. Many thanks. Kirk.
Next question comes from David Madman with KYW News Radio. Please go ahead.
Hello, David.
Thank you, Governor, for taking my call. I wanted to address a question to the health commissioner. The last couple of days, we had heard, I think on Friday, about the possibility of community spread. Haven't heard much since then. I'm just wondering, have we had any confirmed cases where there might be community spread, and if so, where?
I'm going to let Dr. Tan, the state epidemiologist, respond to that.
This is Tina. So, you know, we know that we have many cases that have associations with confirmed cases, but, you know, we have a lot of other cases that don't have known sources of exposure. Certainly that indicates that there is community spread in that regard. We have to be mindful, though, that, you know, with these new cases that are being identified, there's still, you know, for many of the counties, there's still isolated cases, sporadic cases in some of these counties, and that there's opportunities for local health departments to do some containment efforts at the same time. But, you know, we have to look at containment and mitigation. It's not an on-off type of switch. It's kind of like this, as CDC has put it, like kind of a light dimmer. So, you know, as you're working on containment efforts, when you can, when you have these isolated cases, you know, you're still thinking about, you know, what do we need to do to improve social distancing and to improve community mitigation efforts and to prepare for more cases that will likely then have further spread in the state.
Thanks, Dr. Chan. Thank you, David. Perky, back to you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Daniel Munez with NJ Biz. Please go ahead.
Hey, Governor. So you mentioned earlier today about the potential statewide curfew, and with sort of a, can you sort of elaborate on that? I mean, it really seems to suggest that that could be what you're going to roll out tomorrow, with these more aggressive measures.
Yeah, I'm not sure I referenced that earlier, but it's something we're looking very seriously at. We just, again, we have to shake us from business as usual. And as I say, the next couple of weeks, based on any expert, is going to define the shape of the curve in many respects. And again, this is not time to panic. It just isn't. But we got to be smart and aggressive. And looking at curfews is certainly on the list of intense consideration right now. Thank you for that. Turkey, over to you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Alex Egan with APP.com. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a question for the commissioner. Actually, two questions, if you don't mind, both in the Monmouth County. The first, I was wondering if you could clarify the connection between Monmouth County. I couldn't quite tell from your remarks earlier whether the patient who unfortunately died at Center State was somehow connected to the patient who also unfortunately died in Bergen County.
The person who expired at Central State was a relative of the individual who was connected to the Bergen County case.
The Bergen County fatal case?
Pardon me?
Yes. Okay. And then, I'm sorry, we had a report of a possible second exposure incident at Bayshore Medical Center. Is there any truth to that, or are those spurious?
I'm sorry, would you repeat that?
We had reports, unconfirmed reports, that there had been some sort of exposure incident, a second exposure incident at Bayshore Medical Center in Homedale.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. My understanding is there was an exposure in the emergency room that has caused a number of healthcare workers, primarily nurses, to go into quarantine. And as a result, their inability to keep the emergency room at full capacity has been hindered, and they are diverting, as of yesterday, they were diverting patients from their emergency room to other organizations.
Right, I'm sorry, I apologize. What I mean
was... Right.
The report was that there had been an incident separate to the first incident. Was it only just the one?
Did you hear that?
A second incident at Bayshore?
Yes, ma'am.
An incident of there has not been a second incident of exposure at Bayshore.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Judy. Perky?
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nancy Solomon with WNYC. Please go ahead.
Nancy,
hi, Governor. Hi, Governor. I'm glad you're feeling better. I have a few questions all related to hospitals and the provision of health care. Can you lay out what the capacity is in New Jersey for ICU beds, how many there are, and what the capacity is for expanding those beds, the number of beds? Like, do we have hospitals that can create pop-up units under a tent or anything like that? And then finally, I'd like you to respond to what Governor Cuomo's calling for. He's asked the president to send in the Army Corps of Engineers to build hospitals or convert buildings like college campus dormitories into hospitals and to do it immediately.
Yeah, let me start just with a general answer, and then Judy came in with the right and technically correct answer. Governor Cuomo literally just called me while I'm on this call about 5 minutes ago, so he and I will speak after this. So I have not seen specifically his plans, but between the president's declaration of a state of emergency on Friday and the House bill that was passed on Friday night, I had a good conversation with the vice president on Friday night. We have got a VTC with him and his team tomorrow. We need federal help. There's just no question about it. I'm not sure. I know we need explicitly PPE help right now, personal protective equipment. We got a fraction of our ask Thursday night into Friday, and that's a good thing, but we're burning through that very much so. We need more, meaningful more of that. That's our number one priority. Down the road, we're going to have, we're going to need the feds to help us, particularly in the economy and with the small business community. That's a down the road, but real reality. And Judy will answer this question much. We'll give you the answer in terms of the beds and her team. But we have been constantly, from moment one, and this goes back to January, looking at the sort of degrees at which we can expand capacity. And so with that, I'll turn it over to Judy. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Governor. The first thing we looked at in terms of our hospital capacity was how many licensed beds we have in the state and how many are actually maintained. And just in terms of our licensed bed complement, we feel we have enough licensed beds in the organization. My understanding is we currently have 1,983 adult ICU beds and about 16,400 medical surgical beds. Critical care beds can be medical surgical beds can be converted to critical care beds pretty easily.
Hello?
Yes? Okay, medical surgical beds can be converted to critical care beds pretty easily. It's really about the technology and the ability to provide the appropriate level of nursing care and physician oversight. We also know that we have over 700 negative pressure isolation rooms amongst all of our hospitals, which at this point we feel can handle the demand that we have right now. However, we are working with the New Jersey Hospital Association to look at what would happen in case of a significant surge, and we're actually planning for that. We're looking at hospitals that have closed over the last several years to determine if they can easily be brought up online to handle a surge. We're also working with Hospital Association to look at partnering university hospitals with community hospitals to be able to use available beds in the community hospital at a higher level of service. We also have, under the emergency powers, to initiate waivers where needed, and we've already we are already looking and all have already initiated some waivers to allow beds to be used interchangeably based on the needs of the community and what's the need of the individual hospital.
Judy, well said as always. Thank you. Perky, back to you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Pushlin Rakati with Pergin Markets. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. Hello? Anybody there?
What? This is Dustin. What is the name this year now? Maybe it's Maine. I don't know.
Hey, Dustin.
This is Dustin from the record. I'm assuming that's me. My name normally gets mangled.
I thought you were coming in under a pseudonym.
Two questions. Are you recommending that bars close on St. Patrick's Day? And what plans are being considered, if any, to help the business community that is going to suffer from whatever effects this coronavirus will have, whether it's closings or a curfew? Any other plans that you're going to announce in the next couple of days?
Yeah. I mentioned in my remarks, so on the former, Dustin, we're looking at everything. And again, whether it's St. Patrick's Day or any day, we've got to shake the state from business as usual to a different place. And we believe with all our hearts we can do that without engendering higher anxiety. In fact, I think we can lower the anxiety by doing that. So whether it's St. Patrick's Day on Tuesday or any day, we're looking at some pretty aggressive steps, even beyond the aggressive ones we've taken. I mentioned we set up in my remarks a website for small businesses to answer their questions. It's too early to tell, but we will clearly need a huge amount of support for them, particularly small businesses, and our a lot of time with our federal delegation, because a lot of that support is going to come out of the federal coffers. But it's too early to give you specifics at this point, other than to say they are in our hearts and minds. They are suffering mightily as a result of this, and we know that, we get it, and we will work as aggressively we can to get them back on their feet and compensate them for what will be a challenging period. Thank you. Perky, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Aaron Vogt with New Jersey 101.5 News. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Governor. Thank you for making yourself available.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Nice to have you.
So I just wanted to check in. I know that you had said a couple days ago that when it comes to making testing more widespread, the private sector is really going to be what comes through. I've seen today that there is a drive-through facility set up in Secaucus, and I saw at the Newark press conference that the Essex County executive mentioned he had a request for two such facilities when they're able to be made available. So I was just looking for a approximation as to where we stand as a state with more drive-through facilities.
Yeah, Aaron, I'm not sure I'm comfortable giving you an exact day, but this mm-hmm. is a matter of days.
Okay.
And Judy can give you more detail. And you know, we just got to make sure we do it right. We're committed to that. But I mentioned on Friday on my first day back that I would hope that a week from that day, so this is as of this coming Friday, our testing capabilities would have dramatically increased. And remember, that's both intake of specimens as well as the testing itself and the protocols that go with that. Judy has been working nonstop on a whole range of things, but including this front. And my guess is that we'll start in places where we've got the most amount of cases and exposure. So I would think that we're going to, you know, Bergen will be at or near the top of the list in terms of a drive-through location. But it's a model that we want to be able to spread around the entire state. And again, the private sector laboratories doing the testing will be hugely important because they're going to have the scale and the speed that we just don't have within either the state or the hospital systems. Judy, is that fair? Anything you want to add to that?
Definitely. We're working on that. In fact, after this call, I have a scheduled call at 5 o'clock with the county executives to discuss their needs. We're looking in two directions. One is a drive-through and also the ability, particularly for asymptomatic people who are not feeling well, to be able to do specimen collection in their homes. So we're going in two directions with this so that we make sure we cover everybody safely.
Judy, thank you. Darren, for the question. Perky.
Your next question comes from the line of Monica Guy with Chase News. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Governor. I'm glad that you're feeling well.
Thanks, Monica.
So just getting back to small businesses, you mentioned earlier that employers, in terms of paying their employees' salaries for small businesses, you mentioned there might be, if they're unable to pay those salaries given the lack of business, it might impede them from applying for federal assistance. Can you clarify that just a little bit, please?
Yeah, I'm not sure I've got much more to offer on that, but they can't claim the assistance if they don't show the need. So if they haven't paid the individual, and please God, this is the worst time I can remember in this state's modern history for folks to not pay people. Please God, there's not a lot of that going on. But if they don't show that they've got an outlay of the money to pay the employee, they can't then later on claim any assistance in compensation of that. I think it's no more complicated than that. And again, the small business community is one we got our eye very closely on because inevitably and invariably they're paying a huge price for this. Thank you for that, Percy.
Our next question comes from Catherine Landigan with Politico. Please go ahead.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi. So two questions. One, Senate President Steve Sweeney proposed yesterday a two-month holiday from the sales tax. He's also seeking a suspension of payroll taxes and deferred property tax payments. I just was wondering just your initial thoughts on those. Is that something that you potentially would support or not? And then my second question, just kind of as a more general matter, because I've had people asking me this, you know, just friends and family members, if people have routine medical visits, you know, scheduled right now, physicals, things like that, should they just not be going to the hospital? I mean, do you have any general recommendations for people who are healthy and otherwise don't want to overcrowd the hospitals right now?
I'll give the first and then an anecdote on the second, but as usual, Judy will have the answer. Listen, I don't think any of the ideas that Steve raised are bad ones, and the notion of providing people relief is hugely important right now. We have to do it responsibly, so making sure that we, you know, we can still run the entire state and we don't short-suit ourselves on the revenue side is obviously something we have to look at. And I don't want to use this as a commercial for recurring revenue, but there's nothing like recurring revenue, and that includes sales tax, but more importantly, it includes the millionaire's tax. And the tax crisis we have in our state is the property tax crisis. That's the tax crisis in New Jersey, and it's a middle class crisis. And so anything we can do to relieve that is something that we'd very much seriously look at. Catherine, as a personal matter, as a guy who just got out of the hospital 8 days ago, I had a chest x-ray on Wednesday at a local medical facility. I then gave blood on Friday at a different one. I didn't hesitate personally to go into either. It just didn't even occur to me. So I personally think, as a citizen, that folks need to make sure that they're keeping up with their regular appointments. But Judy's going to have a better answer than that tonight.
Yeah, I think it's really important that you keep up with your appointments. And if your individual community hospital provider feels that it's they're overwhelmed and perhaps you can delay a certain test or a certain visit, they will definitely call you. I know throughout the state some hospitals are postponing elective surgeries for a number of weeks. The Surgeon General has encouraged hospitals to look carefully at elective procedures. And quite frankly, the reason being, not that it's not important for you to have these procedures, but it's important for us to preserve the protective equipment that is used during these procedures. So your hospital will keep you informed, and so will your medical provider. If you need a mammography, I would say definitely get your mammography. Things like that should not be delayed because they're life-saving in the long run. I would just encourage you to continue doing that until and unless your healthcare provider says something different.
Hey, Catherine, just going back on the first point, again, we're open-minded to any relief. Sales tax holiday for a month is about $1 billion, so this is real money. That's the only thing I want to make sure. We've got to make sure we keep the state moving forward responsibly as a fiscal matter as well. So we have to take all of that into account. Thank you for that, though. Kirky, please.
Thank you. Next question comes from Cesar Darius with Darius News. Please go ahead.
Governor, you emphasized several times about social distancing. Yesterday, I took a walk on the Weehawken waterfront where there's a playground. It was packed. Didn't shoot video because there were little kids. Packed with kids and parents. Then we have Elizabeth High School. As of right now, I'm looking on their website. They are in session tomorrow. I believe that is the largest high school in the country with multiple buildings. Is the message getting through, and what would you have to say to them? And please ask a second question after.
Ask the second now, please.
Yes, the second question is, and I've been trying to ask this to all elected officials, it's 18 years since 9/11. A major concern that year was chemical and biological attacks. Enormous amounts of money have been spent preparing for that. And I just can't understand, I'm not necessarily asking you personally, I cannot understand any local officials, especially in the New York metropolitan area, saying we are not ready for this. We don't have enough equipment for this. This is exactly what has been anticipated, a biological issue, for 18 years. What was all that money spent on? Where is all that equipment? That's my second question.
Okay, thank you. So the first question is, I've said this a number of times. I guess Elizabeth High School, in fairness, we are likely tomorrow going to announce the statewide, what has been inevitable, the statewide closing of schools. So, why tomorrow, not today? Our folks have been working literally 24 hours a day. This has lots of unintended consequences that we have to make sure we get out ahead of. Food security, the only hot meal a kid might get is through school in a given day. We got 259,000 kids in our state with no devices at home. Daycare implications, just to pick three, childcare implications. So having said that, it is quite clear that we are far too much in a business-as-usual mode. So your observations are consistent with mine, and that has got to change. And we will do everything we can. Again, you should expect to see us. We're trying to circle in on a series of steps that I think we'll be announcing more specifically tomorrow. We have got to shake this state business as usual, and we have to do it in the next 24 hours. And we will do everything we can to do that. That doesn't mean we need to panic. That's not it at all. There's anxiety. We get it. We think we can lessen anxiety. But business as usual ain't getting it done. As it relates to chemical and biological, above my pay grade. I've been here for just over 2 years. I take this stuff seriously. Our team takes this stuff seriously. A lot of this is Washington-based, and that's over generations of administrations. I'm not personally up to speed on the history. I share with you the frustration that, you know, as an example, when we're asking from the strategic stockpile for personal protection equipment or so-called PPEs, it seems to me more should be forthcoming sooner. It seems to me this is something we all could have anticipated. But I've also, at the same time, got to spend most of my time playing the hand that I have been dealt. And that's what we're trying to do and maximize that hand. So thanks for that, Susan. Perky, back to you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Chuck O'Donnell with Tap into Brunswick. Please go ahead.
Hey, Governor. Chuck. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. News about the professor at Rutgers testing positive, you know, is reverberated at this part of the state. Have you been in touch with President Barchi, or is there a little bit more you can, you know, share with us about the situation at Rutgers right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm loath to get into, and I assume Judy will join me in this, we're loath to get into talking about the specifics of anybody's case. Obviously, Rutgers is one of the most important institutions we have in our state. We take its faculty, its students, its staff as seriously as we take anything. I don't know, Judy, if there's any general you want to comment on that.
I'm with you, Governor, and, you know, candidly, I'm looking at general numbers, how they affect the statewide picture. I don't get involved in any individual case, unless we think that there's a significant reason to get involved.
Thank you for that. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Stacey Berger with Bergen Records. Please go ahead.
Hey, Governor, thank you for taking all our questions.
No problem.
Hey, I was just curious to back up to the, I guess, the possibility of a statewide curfew. Do you know, what the legal authority is? Like, what law would allow you to do that? And then what would limiting people's movements for a couple of hours accomplish?
Stacey, I'm not going to be able to give you the whys, but I can give you the what. And the what is, I do have that authority. Based on what Alex Altman is on the line, I'll get Alex to follow up with you once we can give you a specific answer. What do I think if we were to do this? And again, we're not making that announcement today. It's something we're looking at very seriously. I saw too many videos last night of packed bars, people passing bottles, drinking from the same bottle, literally glommed on top of each other. In short of shutting the entire state down, clipping establishments by a number of hours each night in particular, we believe will have a meaningful positive outcome in terms of social distancing. I'm not sure there's any magic picking a particular time, but if we go ahead with this, we're going to go ahead and be aggressive. Thank you for that. Perky.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Brent Johnson. Please go ahead.
Brent,
hi. Two questions. One, the school closings tomorrow, what will happen to private schools? Is it only public schools? And then numbers question, do we have a total county-by-county list available and not just new county-by-county cases? Do we know Newark's number and the number of people who are under testing overall?
Okay, so on the former, the answer is we'll be shutting, because that's the way the law works, the public education system, and we're going to go through exactly, Dr. Repelet and Colonel Callahan tomorrow will go through exactly how we're going to do that. We have had voluminous, constructive, regular conversations with players across the private sector school reality, whether they be private schools, religious schools, all of the above. We are highly confident that folks will follow suit. We see no meaningful expectation to the contrary. Judy, do you want to go through the totals by county? Would you be willing to do that?
I think I gave all the totals in my opening comments, but let me, I'm going to give the total that adds up to 98, and you can get this on our website. I encourage you to look at the dashboard on the Department of Health website. Bergen County, 32, Middlesex, and I just want to say, this was at a point in time about, an hour or two ago, 11 a.m. My staff just told me that. So these are evolving numbers. This is what we had at 11 a.m. Bergen County, 32, Middlesex, 11, Monmouth, 12, Essex, 11, Hudson, 10, Burlington, 4, Morris, 4, Camden, 2, Passaic, 5, Mercer, 1, Ocean County, 2, Somerset County, 1, Union, 3.
And Judy, I don't think we've got the total amount tested, only because I know the answer to this, but the private sector,
Good
news is the private sector players are, they scale up. They're extremely fast, all which is good, but we have less data than we do with our own testing. Is that fair?
Right. Exactly.
I want to go back and just re-hit something. I undervalued my authority here as it relates to schools and private schools. I should say this. I'm still stuck in a gear from Friday. Actually, we can shut private schools. We just did some analysis on this a short while ago, and it's a rapidly moving target, as you can imagine. But we have that authority, and assuming we go forward tomorrow, which we will as a general matter, we will exercise it. Thank you. Perky.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Tracy Tully with New York Times. Please go ahead.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, everyone. Not to be thick, I just have two very specific yes or no questions. Governor, are you going to close public and private schools tomorrow statewide? Yes or no?
I mean, the answer is with 99% certainty, yes.
What's the 1%? I mean, what's the? I don't understand the why you're giving yourself that out.
Let me tell you why. We have 210,000 kids in this state who rely on schools for food. I got to make sure every one of those kids gets a meal when this goes effective. We got 259,000 kids in this school by a survey who don't have a device or access to a device at home. We have significant child care realities, many of whom, by the way, overlap with health care workers. So I don't want to just get a sugar high and close the school, which we will do. That's inevitable. And overwhelmingly, certainly tomorrow. But when I say that the commissioner and the colonel have been working in their teams 24 hours a day to make sure that we can abide by the commitments I just made a second ago, I'm not overstating it. And that's the reason.
Okay. And second question for the commissioner. The 69-year-old Little Ferry resident who died, the first person to die in the state, was that individual at a party, a family gathering, with the 50-year-old woman or 50-something woman whose death was linked last night to coronavirus?
I don't have that specific case.
But you indicated that the person who died was the connected tissue between the first person that died with the second person that died, or did I mishear that?
Let me clarify that the individual who recently expired was related to a brother, related was a sibling of the person who expired in Bergen County.
Okay.
So the brother was friends with the Bergen County individual.
Okay, I see. But not necessarily related to the Bergen County individual, but it was a family gathering.
No.
Okay. And was the woman whose death was linked last night, which did she have underlying health issues?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you.
Perky,
our next question.
Perky, what did you look like right now?
Right now, it looks like we have 7 more.
Okay, let's try to go through them. And I apologize, we started late, but we've got a lot of folks on this call who have an enormous amount of work to do in the next number of hours. So let's try to go as quickly as possible. Thank you.
Okay, our next question comes from Pat Robinson with NJ Hills Media Group. Please go ahead.
Hey, Pat.
Okay, Governor. Hi, Governor. Hi, Commissioner. I'll make this real fast. In regards to the potential school closings, have you nailed down a duration yet?
Lamont, could you address the specific question of duration?
Yes, again, we have not come down with an exact number yet because, as Governor Murphy mentioned, we're assessing our situation. So we have, working with our state troopers, we're going to look at some of the deployment resources we have out there, especially when it comes to food distribution. And as we start to maintain it, have constant communication with the superintendents, then we'll probably gather information. So we might come out with more of a short term than a long term, depending on what the Commissioner of Health is indicating in regards to how it's looking for us. So I think, as the Governor said, it's a little bit more fluid. It's not easy for us to just come up with a broad number. I know a lot of districts in the state have mentioned maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So we're going to be making that decision possibly most likely the next couple of days to look at how our two-week period may butt up against spring break and see exactly how we can extend that period of time. And also, based on scientific research in regards to school closures, the effect of school closure, whether it's 2 weeks or 4 weeks. So that's where we are right now. But as Governor, he'll make that announcement tomorrow. The more communication we have, an update as we start to really kind of look at the information we currently have available.
Thank you, Lamont and Pat. Stay tuned tomorrow. We'll have an answer for you. Perky.
Thank you. Anthony Visani with NJBiz. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Governor. You mentioned earlier what employees can do if their employees don't allow them to work from home if they're scared or not feeling well. Can you elaborate on who they should contact at the Labor Department? Thank you.
Yeah, Anthony, they should probably go on the Labor Department's website. I'm going to get Alex Altman to follow up with you and give you the exact, either the best website or the best phone number to call. How's that sound, all right? Thank you. Turkey.
Next question is a follow-up from Brian Thompson. Please go ahead.
Hello, Brian.
Yes. Sorry, Governor, for a couple more questions, but especially for the Commissioner right now. Do you have any updated number for TNAC? And also for spas and massage parlors, legitimate ones, I might add, who are in personal contact with people, Has the health department given any consideration to these facilities and these employees who are forced to work under these unknown conditions?
Judy, any thoughts?
I can't say that was at the top of our list, but it'll certainly get on the list now. We would put that in the small business bucket. And any restrictions that apply to small businesses would apply certainly to massage parlors.
And do you have a number for TNF, updated number, please?
You mean positive case for the TNF?
Yes, positive, excuse me. Mm-hmm.
I'm looking quickly at my list. I have not broken this down by city by city at this point. We're focusing on county.
Okay, because it was 18 yesterday.
In TNEC?
Yes.
Let me just...
That's when I went to the mayor and he talked about the self-quarantine.
They're with us.
Yeah, I have Bergen County.
Okay. I can reach out to the Bergen County.
Yeah, the local health officer will have that information for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Governor.
Thanks. Perky, what do you got?
Follow-up from Tom Davis. Please go ahead.
Tom, fire away.
All right, sir. Hey. Just want to make sure I got the numbers right. So yesterday there were 69 cases. There's 31 new ones. So wouldn't that be 100?
Yeah, so I mentioned this earlier. Here's the map. 69 yesterday, one fatality, which we announced last evening, bless the soul of the woman in Monmouth. And then we said 31 new ones today, but that 31 includes the fatality last night. So 31 plus 69 is 100. but I mentioned up front there was one overlap with an out-of-state test and one duplication, so that's why it's 98.
I see. Sorry, yeah, I missed the first part. Also, just one additional question about the Toms River case involving Russian County Health Department talked about a pregnant woman apparently was diagnosed with this. Is that at all connected to the Monmouth County situation in the central state? And I heard that maybe she attended the same party or something. I don't know.
So, again, I'm going to make a general statement that we're loath to get into the particulars of an active case. And I think Judy joins me in that. But, Judy, anything you want to add there?
I have nothing to add.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Lisa Cruz with Asbury Park Press. Please go ahead.
Hi, Lisa. Hello.
Hi, Governor. Sorry. In Manchester in Ocean County, after the police and the EMS came in contact with a COVID-19 patient, they chose to limit in-person house contacts by police and are urging the public instead to call in their complaints rather than seek in-person visits by the police. I was wondering if that was a recommendation by the state and if that is something we should expect to see statewide as the time rolls on. And then I have a second question regarding the center-state issue. It's our understanding that several family members from of the woman who died are also at the hospital. Can you confirm that and give us a breakdown of the numbers?
Okay, so on the first question, Pat Callahan is on. To the best of my knowledge, that is not a state mandate by us in terms of Ocean County or elsewhere at the moment. Is that correct, Pat?
Yeah, that is correct, Governor. That's the first I'd heard of that. The only, with regards to the question, the only thing we've asked our dispatchers to do is to ask if there's 911 calls or medical assist just for the protection of our troopers and law enforcement. That is there an expected case or exposure just from a, almost like we ask, is there a weapon in the house if we're going to a domestic violence case? But beyond that, I have not heard of what Ocean County has done.
Thank you, Pat. Judy, any comment on the second central state question?
Yeah, we try not to comment on the particular condition of patients, but the local health officer who does the contact tracing and follows up on situations like this is the person that should be contacted.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you, Lisa. Perky.
Question from Cesar Darius. Please go ahead.
Question for the health commissioner, particularly given her nursing background and Dr. Repelette. School nurses are at the front line of this. As far as I can see, I don't know if there's been any special coordination and communication to them because – full disclosure, my full-time job is as a teacher, and I've never seen, even when it's not cold and flu season, from the beginning of the school day to the end, it's packed with students. So can you please comment on school nurses and their role in this, and I know schools are going to be shut down, but it's not probably going to be over even in 2 weeks.
So, Cesar, we'll give you very quick answers for both Judy and Lamont, but let me just say nurses at schools and nurses at hospitals and nurses anywhere in the state, including our health commissioner herself, are our most valuable players, even in times of calm and goodness, never mind times of emergency and challenges that we're in right now. Judy, to you and Lamont, very briefly, if you could.
Yeah, this is Judy. First of all, thanks for your shout-out about the school nurses, and thank you to the reporter who asked about the school nurses. Once we make a final decision on the rest of the schools that are open, as you know, almost over half of the schools districts have already made that determination without significant input from us. That was up to their own school boards. Once we make final decisions, for those school nurses that perhaps will be left without children in the schools to look after, we may call them up to help us in other areas of their counties and states where their expertise would help with the demand.
Well said. Lamont, anything you want to add?
Yes, I had a conversation this morning with Neil Eicher. He's the vice president of the New Jersey Hospital Association. We've also had conversations through our phone calls to all our stakeholders and definitely the Nurse Association or the School Nurse Association. We've been having communication to make sure to see exactly how can we support them during this transition. But I think the Commissioner Percicelli really said it best. And, Governor, you talked about the whole government approach. Well, exactly looking at how can we deploy resources such as our school nurses to actually backfill positions within hospitals, because we know that's something. So we're going to be making some recommendations along with the Commissioner of Health and supporting her and other sister agencies to see how we can support all of New Jersey so everyone usually be asked to maybe do something more than what they're doing right now. But we have been in contact with the Hospital Association and also the School Nurse Association.
Thank you, Lamont Perkey. Is this the last question?
It is the last question from Ashley Bursazak. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. My question is, this is the first time that you guys have called a public health emergency under the current state law. Can you tell me important measures you've been able to done because you made that proclamation and what important powers you'll have under it? Particularly, could you call a statewide quarantine? I've read the law, and it's a little confusing to me. It seems that if you're refusing a vaccine, you can tell someone to be quarantined. But, again, this is just from a reporter reading this.
Yeah.
So any insight would be helpful.
Ashley, I'm impressed that you did the study of that. I mean, it allows for broad powers, and you're seeing some evidence of that already, the limitation of the size of gatherings, closing of schools, mandating that folks don't get screwed on their copays to pay for testing, that they don't get your state worker, that you don't get screwed on your accumulated sick days just because you're ill with corona or you've got to take care of a loved one, maybe a kid who's now going to be home from school. There's lots of different latitudes that goes with it and lots of powers. And I don't say that with any amount of ego. It's just a fact. And thank God, because right now we're going to need, we've already taken aggressive action. Remember, we started talking about this in January. I formed our first task force on February 2nd or 3rd, which Judy has chaired. The state of emergency now last week. We want to constantly stay out ahead of this, and the broad authorities that we get with declaring this state allows us to better do that. And so the question is a good one, and I promise you we will use those authorities and that power to good use. I just want to say one last thing other than thanking Judy and Marlene and Judy's team, Chris and Christina in particular, my whole squad. Assuming we get to the point, which we undoubtedly will tomorrow, that we're going to close schools, kids are entitled to spring break, and bless their hearts, as long as they're smart and they practice social distancing and they do the sorts of things that we are encouraging from day one. Wash your hands with soap, cough and sneeze into your sleeve, don't touch your face, stay home if you don't feel well. That's all well and good. This is not one extended spring break, by the way, and I want to make sure the parents hear that as well. We need rigorous behavior by all parts of society, including kids who are off from school and families. There needs to be structure. There needs to be a complete respect for this notion of social distancing. We've taken pretty aggressive steps. You should assume we're going to take a lot more aggressive steps even within the next 24 hours. This is not a party vote. This is real. And this curve will be defined in the next 7 to 14 days. And it's up to us, the extent to which we can flatten that curve. All of us have to play our part, including yours truly. If we do, we'll flatten that curve, and we will get through this. I know that unequivocally, stronger than ever before, but only if each and every one of us does our part. We'll see you tomorrow, 2:00, 225 West State Street. Many thanks.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude your conference for today. Thank you for using AT&T. You have a great day.
We're sorry. Your conference is ending now. Please hang up.